VWA. Or NGU KN4 VWA. Or DJW KN4 VWA.
KN4 VWA, W4 DJW. How far did you get yesterday?
Something on me, and I went home and I pulled the battery out of that Harley, and I took it down there and I did a procedure that I read up on the internet about short pulse charging when they're extremely low, and I brought that battery back last night. I don't have to buy a new battery, or at least it appears I don't have to buy a new battery. I hadn't ridden the bike, and it's got a security system on it, and the security system is what drained it. I did not have my battery tender on it, so that's what drained it. But last night, I managed to bring it back with my charger.
Well, you want to make sure that lasts. You don't want to get off somewhere and shut it off and then not be able to start it again. It doesn't have a Kickstarter, does it?
It sure doesn't, and I sure don't want to try to roll start. Harley, I've done that before, and it's no fun. And as far as my airplane, I tell you what I did. I went home and I ordered two more ESEs. I'm short one ESE, so I ordered two 40 amp and just a couple of cheapos. Q-Wind, they all look like they come out of the same factory with just a little bit of different paint on them. Anyhow, they're supposed to be here on the 7th, on Thursday, tomorrow. And I tracked my receivers. They were in New Jersey and leaving New Jersey yesterday. So I'm kind of hoping they're going to hit either Friday or Saturday. So, you know, that's an unknown as far as the Bloody Wonder or the SE Mini. Making progress on them. I'm getting there.
Oh, that's good. We're going to have to figure out how to publish a GPS coordinates off of those things. I was just now reading up on the Ardu Pilot's available modes. It's got a ton of them. One of them is follow. Another one is follow me. Follow follows another vehicle, and there's a ton of information you got to read through to figure out distance and what it's looking at and how it turns and what kind of a vehicle it is and obstacle avoidance. Anyway, it's going to be interesting that now that we got working stuff that's working and making it to where it can be more intelligent about how it works, it's going to be fun. But it's the tip of the iceberg, just getting it functional.
Now, if we were to put GPS coordinates on something for loiter, now, you know what? You're right about your Telemaster. That is going to stay up there longer on a battery. I was just thinking about my Cadet. If you pull that thing back to minimal throttle, I think you've got like 8 to 10 minutes flight time on that thing. It's got, it, you know, with that 5,000 battery in it, it flies forever. I was just thinking maybe that might be pretty good for your aerial repeater.
I'm looking for something in units of hours, like 3, 4, 5, 6 hours to stay up there. So you put it up there and you forget about it while you're working on the other stuff. Because 8 minutes, you got to scramble. You may not get it in the air in 8 minutes, and then it's time for the repeater to land. You want it to stay up there a long time. And slow, without a really, really low amperage draw. I was watching an RC flight, RC test flight. There's flight test, and then there's RC test flight. They're two different YouTube channels. And I was watching him, the one that's been there longer is RC test flight. And, or flight test, I can't remember. But, he was showing getting it down to less than 1 amp draw on the battery. And then if you do the math, right, if you can get the draw down to less than 1 amp to make it stay up there, and you've got 5 amp hours, right, then you should be able to fly for 5 hours. Something like that. Looking for that kind of a deal. W4DJW.
At some point, Dave, you got to, you know, start calculating weight against lift and the power required to keep it up there. I don't know how in the world you could keep a Telemaster in the air on 1 ampere draw. Well, hey, you know, there's ways to do stuff. I would have never thought that you could do the things that that have been done with a drone here in the last few years. So maybe there is a way. But, you know, it takes so much power for so much weight to keep it up in the air.
Yeah, the larger the airplane, the more efficiencies you get out of lift. You get better lift with less drag at a larger wingspan. So, and a smaller route. The route goes down, the span goes up, the cord gets thinner, you get better efficiencies that way. And then you also get a larger prop because it has the same effect. A prop is nothing more than two airfoils going around in circles. So you get a larger prop that's spinning at a lower RPM, and you can lift more weight and stay up longer. And the bigger you get, it's not linear. It's not like 1 foot does, you know, 1 amp draw and 2 feet does a half an amp. It's not like that. It gets more efficient as you get larger.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, I just have to see it, man. I hope we can do it. That sounds great. So what is the wingspan on that Telemaster?
You're standing on its end, it's probably 2 feet more than I am. I'm 6 feet tall, and it's probably 2 feet more, so it's probably more like an 8 foot wingspan or something like that, with about a foot cord or a little more than a foot, maybe 13 inch cord.
26 inches. Oh, I sneezed. Tell me this. Riddle me this, Riddler. The greater the wing cord, can you reduce the wingspan and get equal lift?
No. If that was the case, you wouldn't see gliders with really long, skinny wings. Or the U-2 had really, really long, skinny wings. As wings get longer and the cord gets smaller, efficiency goes up. So you can stay up with less energy. As the route gets longer and the cord gets shorter, or the span gets shorter, efficiencies go down. It takes more power. You can do more. I think, you know, you're more agile. You can roll faster. That kind of says you get into more of an acrobatic plane when you start doing that.
Over stuff right now that I haven't thought of in years. Well, it sounds like a doable to me. So where are you on your Telemaster? It was gas. Have you done the calculations to shift it over?
No, I got the last two pieces of when I switched over to that dual GPS solution on the copter, it took away one of the serial ports, and that took the FreeSky telemetry that was going from the FreeSky receiver to the Pixhawk and then down to out to the Minim OSD for the heads-up display. It took away some of those metrics. There was two things that I wasn't able to see. One was RSSI, receiver signal strength indicator. I couldn't, and you need that when you're flying. I put the 900 megahertz on 10 milliwatts, and then I put it into range check mode, which is even less than 10 milliwatts, and then I put it in the microwave and shut the door. I didn't turn the microwave on to lower it. And then I came upstairs, and I could see that it was down to 70%. right? The lowest setting that it had in the microwave, right? It's in a Faraday cage, and it's in range check mode, which is lower than the lowest. And that way I could calibrate the RSSI on the heads-up display. That way you know if you're getting in trouble and you need to raise your altitude. So got that working yesterday. Is a series. I knew how to do it with the Ardu Pilot, the AMD, the 8-bit controller, but I never had it working on a Pixhawk. So now it's working. And then I recovered that telemetry that puts the dot on the screen on the FreeSky radio that has a graphical map, or it has the geographic map that has like the satellite pictures, and that has a point on your transmitter so you can see where you are. If you get lost, you can take your goggles off and look down there and it'll tell you where you are. So I got those two things working yesterday. I haven't been working on the math for the Telemaster yet.
Well, let me ask you this. You know, when you run out of USB ports on the side of a laptop, you can use a port splitter. Familiar with these types, but could you possibly use a port splitter on this type of situation and still get the same information out?
Some of the more advanced communications protocols like I2C has that capability and SPI, but RS-232 is really, really old. This is the RS-232 protocol. It doesn't have that capability. But the newer protocols do. Like, there's this thing called CAN bus. In CAN bus, you just daisy chain. And the FreeSky S-port, you just daisy chain. And you can daisy chain up to 100 sensors in one. So, yeah, you can do that with some of the protocols, but you can't do that with RS-232.
I understand. Okay. Well, All right. Yeah, you'd already thought of that, hadn't you?
Yeah, well, we've got it working now. But I'm using all five serial ports. The first serial port is the mini USB that goes on the side for when you're loading firmware. And that one you only use when you're loading firmware. You don't use it for anything else. And then the second one is the telemetry port that communicates with your telemetry radios, and it goes all by itself. You don't mix it with anything else, which I was doing, and that's a problem. And then the third one is it goes to the minimum OSD to give it heads-up display info. And then the fourth one is your first GPS. No, the third one is your first GPS. The fourth one is your second GPS. And then I've got the fifth one used for FreeSky telemetry to get my telemetry from the radio link, not from the telemetry radios, but from the radio link back to the transmitter to show. So there's two. So we got redundancy there. We're sending that telemetry through the radio. We're also radio link, and we're also sending it through telemetry radios. So redundancy is a good thing.
All right. Well, you just need to keep plugging away at it, I guess. All right. Well, in the meantime, I have pulled up at my destination. Today is Wednesday, my school day, so I guess I get to go drive here. I've got to be over at Blue Ridge High School at 8:40, and I got to transfer my stuff into the bus, so I guess I got to go jump. I don't know what the weather's supposed to do this weekend. Do you think you're going to be up for some testing, like say around 1 or 2 o'clock on Saturday?
Yeah, I think we can do that. Saturday is supposed to. Saturday is 18% chance of rain. It's the lowest since last Saturday. So Saturday might be a good day. But testing. I'm reading up now on how you're going to publish your position to me. I got to figure out how you do that. Will you stick a phone inside your radio or your airplane? And if it's a Bloody Wonder, you're not going to stick a phone in there because it's not going to carry a phone. We need a lightweight solution that just something 1-inch square that you just stick on the inside of your plane and turn it on and you're done. I'm looking for that. I haven't found it. That's what I'm looking for now. Plus, since I've got this one working, I want to build a duplicate of it before I crash this one. So I've got two working that are working exactly the same. If we crash one, we've got a backup. W4, and I'll let you go, W4DJW.
Well, yeah, we don't necessarily going to crash this. Man, you're following as many safety protocols on this thing as you can, and redundancies and everything else, as long as we go slow. All right, well, listen, I'll go ahead and plan my time for around 2 o'clock on Saturday, and I'll come on out, and if you need my help, anything that you need on that thing, I'll come on out, and we'll get her done. So, anyhow, all right, I got to jump. 73s, K and 4 VWA, I'll be clear after your final big guy.
All right, we do need to do some goggles flying now that the RSSI is on the screen, and we can see exactly what the received signal strength is at the copter from the goggles. We need to do some of that. We haven't done that yet, and go out a little bit further. Go up a little bit higher and go out a little bit further. So that's something good and easy to do. W4DJW, catch you later.
See you, Steve. Hey, Dave. W4NGU.
Good morning, Phil. Steve was looking for you a little while ago.
Perfect double.
Go ahead.
I was just saying good morning, and you were looking for him. You go ahead.
Phil, that I was looking for him this morning, and I called him Sleeping Beauty. Oh, and by the way, Phil was at lunch yesterday. Had a pretty good time. All right, well, listen, I'm going to go ahead and let you guys carry on. I'm bugging out. I got to go drive the bus. Carry on, Sleeping Beauty. K and 4, VWA, clear.
The real Sleeping Beauty is Steve. I was at an out-of-town breakfast at 7 a.m. He thinks I sleep all the time. It's not true. But it sure is good to hear you in here a lot now that you have a lot more free time. And sounds like that plane stuff is pretty doggone complicated, man.
It's something to keep your mind busy so it doesn't go to mush, and it'll do it. It's a lot of fun. I get all wrapped up in it sometimes, a little bit too wrapped up. But I have started looking at stocks again. You still trading?
Every day. And this is not usually me, but I bought some crypto stuff Monday afternoon at 4:35, and it could go berserk. It's up 70%, and I've got a friend that got in a couple of days earlier. He's up about 200%. So that's not normally my kind of play, but it's fun once in a while.
Well, my neighbor, next door neighbor, moved in here from Washington, and we were talking about that. He does crypto. I looked at crypto like probably half a dozen times, and I always look away like you. I always stay away. I haven't tipped my toe in the water yet, but if you're successful, maybe we should get together and figure out what's going on. Anyway, now that you're still working, though, right? You work every day?
I'm on clock every day. But, yeah, we'll get together. I do a lot of trading. I love it. I love it. I know you hold several stocks. I think that's going to shortly come to an end.
W4DJW. Yeah, I know it's been a good run, but all good things got to come to an end. So you're right. I'm thinking this is going to, they're going to trigger to fall out here sooner rather than later. But anyway, it's been a good run, but time to start looking at alternatives.
Well, you know, I saw an article that one of my crypto friends sent me that years ago somebody paid 10,000 Bitcoin for a pizza. And I remember almost biting it when it was $5 a coin. And, of course, now it's over 50K again. And so I just figured, you know, I'd throw a small amount of money and not miss the ride. Just to tell you how small this is, I'll tell you what my buddy did. He put $1,000, and that bought him 150 million shares. And if it goes to half a penny, he's a millionaire.
Yeah, I did some FX trading like that a while back, but and it bumped up for a little while, but then it came back down. You got to be quick on the trigger with those kind of things because, like you said, minor fluctuations in either direction can make huge differences.
Yeah, I prefer to do what I do though, and make about 2% a day on my whole portfolio, and over time, over a 3 or 4 year period, it's you can't count the zeros. So I'm just going to keep doing what I do.
That's a safe thing to do. but sometimes, you know, if you've got some play money, right, it's good to experiment, good to learn. Can't hurt to learn. Anyway, I'm going to get back to that's what I'm doing over here. I'm studying this follow me mode and how it works so that we can stick something on Steve's airplane and I can follow him without running into him or without him losing me. Either way. It's challenging. Something good to do in retirement. W4DJW.
Yeah, but there's also something fun about saying, I remember years ago I bought a million shares of some stock that was real cheap and made a little money and got out. Got out at the high. That doesn't always happen. But I imagine it's kind of heady for this guy to be sitting around at at a social and say, yeah, I got 150 million shares. Oh, my goodness. We'll see you, Dave, W4NGU.
The only problem I see with crypto is what happened at the beginning of the week. One of them got hacked. I forget which one it was, but it's the only problem with crypto. It's online. It's accessible. WX4MWA.
All accessible online. What I do, I don't call a broker. Nobody does that anymore. But anyhow, you pays your money and you takes your chances. I got to get in. W4NGU clear.